today on Real Radio.
God wants to work through you, and there's going to be opposition. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to walk into some place that is possessed or whatever, or come across somebody. And as the world gets darker, and as America gets further and further away from the gospel, we're going to see this more and more. You don't have to be afraid. Just be in the Lord.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, continues a series now called the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their passion, of course, was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this included Timothy and Lydia, of course, a woman who was led by God to open her heart to things spoken by the Apostle Paul. In the message called Following the Leader from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 10, we learn to follow God's lead according to His Word, the Bible, and when He speaks through the power of the Holy Spirit. A true follower of Jesus Christ also needs to let go of the past, to be present in the things of the Lord, and to have a hope for the future. Now in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 19, we'll see how we're signed, sealed, and delivered so we can in turn share our faith with others. And now, continuing his lesson called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In Greek mythology, Delphi was known for her predictions. She predicted things of the future. Listen carefully. This is going to come home to us in a moment. She was killed by Apollo, who embodied himself in a snake and was then able to prophesy, acquiring her skills. Apollo would speak prophecy through possessing a snake, and he would do that about the future events to come. And when he would do that, now, when he does that in this time, I say now, 2,000 years ago, at this period of time, this slave girl was possessed with the spirit of divination, or pithos. She was possessed with what they understood to be the spirit of Apollo, who prophesied. Pithos is where we get the English word python, a snake that controls and destroys. In Greek mythology, it is a snake that controls, listen, by speech. She is possessed by a demonic spirit. They understand it to be the spirit of pithos, python, Apollos. This gets more interesting. They believe that this now Apollo dwelling within this woman would speak things of the future. This talking snake on the inside would speak things to come. By the way, the slave girl, according to historians, they were often caged. And by the way, you can go to Istanbul. You can go to places in North India, where there are women today caged, and you can buy them for sexual favors from their masters, or you can buy them to tell you the future. You can do it today, people. Just think, in about 13 hours of airplane time, we could be there right now and you could see it, something that's happened and was happening 2,000 years ago and earlier than that. The pithos spirit. Is that heavy? Does that ring a bell, a talking snake? Genesis chapter 3. It was a serpent who spoke to Eve. Nothing new, Solomon said, is under the sun. I find it interesting, maybe some of you have done some reading up on this. Several years ago, there was the salamander letters. Remember those from the Mormon church? They're in secrecy now. No one quite knows where they're at, as far as I know now. The people who had them were blown to death by explosions in their houses and in their cars in Salt Lake City. Rumor has it that they've been confiscated and subdued by the Mormon church and held or destroyed. And in those salamander letters, the revelation that's connected with Mormonism was given by a talking serpent. It's a very controversial topic. It's cost people their lives in Salt Lake City. Talking snakes. Moral of the story? Don't talk to snakes. Don't dabble with the occult. The practice of the magicians using pythos or python, the technique, listen, the taking of this young girl used to deceive people, a connected word in English language is the word ventriloquist. It means to throw the voice, to throw the voice to come out of something foreign. If you practice ventriloquism, I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying this is its source. This is where it originated. And in this Greek mythology, if anybody wanted to find out the future, they would consult a girl possessed with the spirit of pythos. Check it out. We might recognize it today in the Babylonian word called horoscope. It is pagan. It is demonic. If you're into it, you're opening yourself up for destruction. Deuteronomy chapter 13. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or a wonder, and that sign or wonder comes to pass, it's true. Gee, Jack, I had a person read my palm and it came true. Of course it did. It's demonic. It's not a joke. Of course it's real. We're not denying that. Neither is God. And if that wonder comes to pass, which he spoke to you saying, let us go after other gods or seek shelter or seek comfort or guidance in other things, which you have not known, and let us serve those other gods. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer, for the Lord is now testing your heart to see whether you love him or not. Parents, listen. I'm serious about this. If you or your children are dealing in things like Ouija boards, crystals, the game, by the way, Dungeons and Dragons, the very creator of Dungeons and Dragons is a Satanist, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Any New Age practice, by the way, pornography is another inroad to demonic possession or harassment. Seances, even if it's a joke. Oh, I'm sure nothing's going to happen. Listen, I want to tell you, I don't want to get into the details. I'll tell you, we'll talk later. It's true and things happen. And I've been involved with stuff like that. I mean, I didn't do it. I've been involved with people who have been possessed by demons who have been involved in these situations. Literally possessed. Make no mistake about it. Voices and body contortions and levitation coming off the ground. And you think it's a joke? God says, I'll judge somebody who deals in those things. That's why Paul took the tenacity that he did with it. Pornography, seance, horoscopes, fortune tellers, palm readers, tarot cards. You have opened yourself up to a demonic influence. If you're a Christian and you've played with those things, do not be surprised. I'll tell you in advance. Don't be surprised if you start to see manifestations in your home or around your life. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or his daughter to the fire, who practices divination. That's what we're talking about, the occult. Sorcery, drug use, interprets omens or dreams, engages in witchcraft, white or black witchcraft, who casts spells, who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Shirley MacLaine, Linda Evans, and the New Age movement, consulting the dead. For all who do these things are abominable to the Lord. Heavy stuff, isn't it? That's what Paul's coming up against right now. This girl, verse 17, followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, first of all, and the word cried is interesting. It means to croak. She croaked, saying. It's like an animal speaking. Maybe it should say bark on there. That's probably... She barked. She croaked. She cried out in this strange way. And notice what she says here. She cries out, saying, quote, "These are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Is that true? It's absolutely true. Then why did Paul, it says, verse 18, "And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit," not the girl, said to the Spirit, this is real, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out. But why, Paul? She's telling you the truth. Listen, God doesn't need a false or fake vessel to proclaim the truth. He will not honor that. God will never do something like that. Besides, what she's doing, that's the motive of the heart. Satan or the Spirit is trying to flatter them, trying to derail them. And listen, flattery, you guys and you gals, do you know flattery? Flattery is bad news. Do you know that? Flattery is usually a lie. And also, Proverbs 6:24 says, "The word of God will keep you from the woman who flatters you with her tongue." The word flatter means to smooth you over. In Proverbs 7, verse 5, the Bible says, "Know the word, know the Bible, that it may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters you with her words." This woman's saying, "Oh, this is the message of the Most High God. Listen to these guys. Listen, God doesn't need that help. He doesn't need some carnal, some demonic, some earthly source to promote his work." Very important. Her words and the words of a flatterer are normally compliments. And listen, guys, you know that this is the enemy working when someone says, "Oh, John, you're so strong. Can you lift the water bottle here at the office?" Hey, listen, let her lift it herself. She's going to flatter you. So you flatter me again, you lift it yourself. That's the enemy using that stuff. "Oh, you're so wise and wonderful. Get out of my office. Get out." The enemy will use that stuff. That person may not be aware of it. "Oh, you're just such a neat woman. If my wife was more like you," listen, be careful. Flattery will smooth you over. And Proverbs 7 says it's the way that she leads a stupid man to death. "Oh, you think I'm strong, huh? Wow, no one's ever said that before." "Well, why don't you come, you little ox? I mean, you handsome guy, you." And Proverbs 7 says that guy finds out in the end that he's been pierced through his liver and he dies. And then it speaks of disease. She's flattering. Paul says, "Man, I wish we could have heard this." Paul says to the Spirit, "I command you to come out of her in Jesus' name. I'm sick of it. Sick of hearing you for days." Now, we got to give Paul credit. He's very impetuous. He put up with this for days. He's probably thinking, "Well, you know what? Maybe she'll come around or something." And wherever they're going, there's this gal back there. "These are servants of the Most High God. These are servants of the Most High God." "Lady, will you shut up? And by the way, evil spirit, come out of her now." Paul had enough, man. God wants to work through you, and there's going to be opposition. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to walk into some place that is possessed or whatever, or come across somebody. And as the world gets darker and as America gets further and further away from the gospel, we're going to see this more and more. You have to be afraid. Just be in the Lord and he'll protect you. And it says, but when, verse 19, her masters saw that their hope of profit, that's all they care about, their slave girl wasn't producing money anymore, was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. Notice it's not Luke or Timothy, but it's Paul and Silas, and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And we'll talk about that the next time, I guess really after this prophecy series that's coming up. Satan's subtle plays to derail, to undo the work that God wants to do and is doing in your life. Be on your guard. Watch out. God's unorthodox ways, God will do what he so desires. I want to leave you with this. This has been an interesting week here. I can't say it's been totally out of the normal. It's just been demanding. I may have or may not have had mentioned to you last Sunday that a family had lost, they were pretty far along in pregnancy and they had lost a child. In fact, there was two of them last Saturday. And that's tough. That is hard. And even last Sunday, while we were all at service, there was a precious family here at service. Everything normal, everything fine. And toward the end of the week, middle of the week, the little 2.5-year-old, almost three, I remember when she was born, we took food to her house with the Care Bears. If you're in the Care Bears, you would know. And she's got a cold. Mommy takes her to the doctor. A doctor treats her. On the way home, looks in the back mirror. Baby's in convulsions in the seat. Pulls over. They're driving right by San Antonio Hospital. Baby's heart stops. They airlift her out to Loma Linda. And she died. And the circumstances, though, around this are amazing. Sitting down eating her waffles the day that she went to the Lord, Mommy's cleaning up the kitchen. Taylor says, "Mom, I don't want to go to live with Jesus right now." And she says, "What?" She says, I don't want to go to heaven right now." She says, "Well, you know, what? Is something wrong in your Sunday school? Is something wrong? No, but I just don't want to go right now." Okay, and she just kind of blew it off like any of us would. And then she said, "I want to take a helicopter ride. Can we go to Disneyland?" And her mom said, "Disneyland doesn't have a helicopter." She goes, "Oh, well, I want to take a helicopter ride." Well, a few hours later, she was taking a helicopter ride to Loma Linda University Hospital, where she later died. The Lord had whispered to Taylor, either in a dream or earlier that morning, and said, "Maybe, obviously something about a helicopter ride." He probably said, "You want to take a helicopter ride? And you're gonna go home. You're gonna come to my house today." She's fine. She speaks it to Mom. Comes to pass. Listen, it's easy to comfort a family. In that scenario, God was preparing it all in advance. God's hand, Jesus' fingerprints are all over this deal. It was time for her to go home and play with him. He gave her, and he missed her too much, and he wanted to take her and play with her. And do you, or do you, know the power and the peace and the authority that you can stand and hold a dad and a mom's shoulders and say, "Listen, go in that room, give her a hug and give her a kiss. But remember this," and I didn't say this at the time, but there, in Russia, there's "do svidaniya," which is a form of farewell until we meet again, or "paka," which is "I'll see you tomorrow." It was their "do svidaniya." You go and you say goodbye to her for now. You will be with her again. You're going to see her. You're going to see her. You're going to stand with her. You're going to talk with her. You're going to know all about it. You'll see her again. And all of a sudden, you can see they just, oh, yes! The hope that the gospel message brings, you've got it in your heart. There are people dying around your community, and you've got the answer. And I understand yesterday a gal that hasn't been coming here very long lost her 3-month-old baby yesterday at Kaiser. What do? You can only give them the gospel, which is the only thing they need, which is all that they need. Let's pray. Father, we pray in the wonderful, awesome, glorious name of Jesus Christ. Him from whom all blessings flow. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for Christ Jesus who died on the cross and rose from the dead to give us eternal life. And for that we are sure. And God, we stand here today absolutely convinced and persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principality or power, nor things past, present, things to come, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love and your wonder by giving us your holy and precious Son. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Thanks for listening. And like Lydia, God still places value on one life who opens their heart to Him. And from Lydia's conversion to Christ, the church at Philippi was born. Signed, Sealed, and Delivered is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. So, Pastor Jack, I understand you've got something real important to communicate to our listeners.
I do, Davey, and it is very, very important for sure. This is a special announcement to all of our Real Radio listeners, but specifically those of us living in California. And here's the reason why. This coming November is an election in California that is unlike any other election in our state history because there's so much up before the voter regarding biblical issues. And the number one issue is pro-life. The opportunity to vote for governor, for assembly, for our state senators, it's all about pro-life. And so here's my prayerful request to all of you in California and for those of you who know someone in California. And that is, will you please vote this November 6th? It's very simple. Believe me, it's very simple. You can go to electionforum.org, electionforum.org, and you can look in the state of California, exactly where you live, on how you can vote a biblical worldview vote from the Word of God. You'll see the candidates, where they stand, and then you get to make an educated vote to honor God. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, that when the righteous are in power, people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. So listen, I'm asking you, and I'm praying for you, that you would vote in California, November 6th, and stand up for Jesus, stand up for pro-life, make your voice be heard by voting this November. I'm going to be voting, and by God's grace, not only could we have a revival in California, but we could also have righteousness again in California. So please vote November 6th.
So, Pastor Jack, what would you say to our listeners that don't live in California?
I'm asking all of you that do not live in California to certainly get a hold of somebody that you do know in California. It seems like everyone knows someone that lives in California.
Okay, so don't forget to check out electionforum.org to find out how you can vote a biblical worldview this election season. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.